Today on Real Radio.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Well, I need mercy. The God of all comfort. Hey, I need comfort. Who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. God is not only working in your life to prepare you for heaven. There's things in your life that God could never get worked out in you except through pain and suffering. That's how stubborn we are. But in the midst of it all, He's going to equip you to minister to somebody else.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the last 8 verses of chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas continue to spread the word about the risen Messiah. Now the text seems to pick up the pace, telling us of quite the number of cities they traveled through. It's a great example of gospel zeal, as it were. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this study called The Gospel Minister.
What would you do if you represented God and everybody knew it, and a prostitute was laid in front of you, drugged before you and thrown down, and all these religious kingpins are standing around saying, "What do you say about this one, Jesus?" What would you do? If you know Jesus, you'd look into her eyes and you'd sense her shame and you'd forgive her. If you don't know Jesus, you would say, "Throw her into the ditch!" No. That's the way religion deals with things. Jesus Christ has compassion and mercy. We need to be taught of His nature. He commands us that we are to love one another. That's the great decree that He's given us. So He says to them, or so it is there in Matthew 28, that we're to teach them whatsoever I've commanded them. That's a beautiful thing. Now look at this. At the end of verse 21, it says that He's returning. They are returning back to the cities that they just preached the gospel. They not only preach and proclaim the news, they make disciples, but the next thing is that they strengthen those who are already saved. Look at verse 22. And now we see the second point, and that is the gospel minister encourages the church, encourages people. And this is a great word. The word strengthen, you ought to circle it in your Bible and write down its definition somewhere. The word in the Greek means to bring further support up against. The Greek paints a picture of a fence about ready to fall over, and you run over there with a stick and you prop it up. You keep it from falling down. That's what Paul's doing. He's going back to these other churches. Now, here's a little bit of background. I'll try to do it quick. Paul's missionary journey at this point was just about a year long. He had been out for a year. And during that time, they visited these places. As he's returning back, he's going in with the attitude of strengthening the ones who have fallen down or about to fall down. Now, I don't know how that grabs you, but I like that. Maybe because I need to be propped up myself. Maybe because I need somebody to put a fence post up next to me or come and grab my arm and pick me up. Isn't it neat that when Moses was ministering, Aaron and Hur came alongside and held up his arms? That's what the word means. Now, how about you? Chances are, if you are not a Christian this morning, your world is probably going pretty good. Satan will see to it that you're pretty happy. If you're a Christian, it's possible that your world seems like it's falling apart at the seams. When I was a non-Christian, I had the world by the tail, as I thought. Actually, the devil, roaring lion, had me by another body part in my rear end, I guess, but I thought everything was going fine. And when I became a Christian, my life fell apart. Lost my job. Just totally got messed up. But God had to strip all these things out of my life that I was trusting in. I had the world propping me up every which side. I had this, I had that, I had all my little props. And don't anybody get inside my world and dislodge one of those props, or else you're going to get it. Jesus came into my life and he knocked all those things over and he said, I'll be your only prop. Maybe you've had this said to you, I'm not a Christian, I don't need any crutches in my life. Everybody has a crutch. Everybody has one. I don't care who you are, you've got a crutch. And if you might be saying, well, that guy Jack, he's a total knucklehead. He doesn't know me. I don't need a crutch. And you know what? You're the funniest crutch of them all. Because you have yourself. And that is the most tragic thing of all. Jesus said, a man who loves himself and protects himself and shields himself will lose his life in the end. Jesus is to be our prop. He's to be our support and our strength. So Paul goes back to the churches and he begins to prop them up. I pray that every one of us would be like this. We go down the hallway and we'll say, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Great. Have you noticed everyone you've met, everyone's doing just great all the time? Nobody has any problems. How's it going? Great. Just great. Let's be truthful for crying out loud. How's it going? Hey, just pray for me. At least say that. We get all dressed up and we come to church and look at you. You look so good. But inside our hearts sometimes are hurting. They're sometimes broken. We might have gotten this thing, this news from the job, or we just got this news from the doctor on Thursday. And this pressure's starting to come in. How you doing? Oh, fine. We lie. We need to be honest. Man, Paul the Apostle showed up there and he looked around and he said, how you doing? Well, I don't know if I'm saved anymore, Paul. Some guy said, well, I just punched this guy out because he stole my donkey and I don't know. And I don't, you know, we have a big fight going on. I'm going to sue this guy and he's going to sue me. And Paul says, hey, wait a minute. I need to prop you guys up for a minute. Get him in, you sit him down, you open up the Bible, and the Word of God props them up. And I love that. He strengthens them. And God gives you the ability to do that with other people. As you're in the Word, you study the Bible, the more you're equipped to prop people up until they are disciples and they start to prop other people up in the fellowship. Encourage them. But you know what's so funny? We think, well, we'll let the staff do that. Well, I got news for you. In fact, the Lord has news for me because I never quite obey this all the way. But my calling as a pastor is extremely isolated. I mean, I'm so excited to be here in front of you. This is the most people I see all week because I'm stuck inside a room with books and with my knees. I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be studying according to Acts chapter 6, verse 4. My call is to pray and to study to do this. Your job is far more reaching. You get up now today and you go out into the world and you change the world. I talk to Christians all the time. I'd give anything to talk to non-believers again. I loved being out there in the world. Hey, man. Hey, Jack. Want to go to happy hour? Hey, I'm not going to go. Why don't you guys come to Bible study? Oh, no way. I'm going to happy hour. Well, how come you never come back looking so happy? Come on, man. Get off my back. We went through that for 12 years. Hey, come on, let's go to happy hour. No, let's go to church on Thursday night. No way, man. You come to happy hour, I'll go to church. Ah, you go to church, I'll go to happy hour. And I would. I mean, I never did, but I would. They never asked. But I'd take my Bible in there and I'd set it on the bar counter. Praise the Lord. This guy needs a drink. No, but we're so afraid. We're so afraid that we might show up at a place like that and have that place affect us. Because we're not disciples. We're not following him. We should be strong enough. The world ought to be able to take its cape and go, ooh, look at this. And we ought to go, oh, big deal. That's nothing. We need to be strong, people, if we're going to be a healthy church. We need to strengthen. You need to be doing so much that is so much of a blessing. We shouldn't, the staff shouldn't capitalize on all the joy. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, the Bible there gives specific offices that are for the pastorate or the evangelistic ministries. But then there's a thing, and we'll see in a moment, called elders. And every one of you, if you read this account carefully and study it, as we'll get to it, I hope, today, you'll see that all of us are to be elders. They're not ordaining pastors in this chapter right here, when we get to it, when they lay hands on these guys. They're ordaining elders. And that's who we are. All of us are to be elders, servants. And a lot of there's been a lot of problems from that verse because there's been misunderstanding, and we'll get to it in just a bit. But we are to be encouragers. Listen to this. He says there, strengthening them, encouraging them. Number one, he says to continue in the faith. The word means to keep moving forward. In other words, if you're backsliding, you're not moving forward. It's time to stop and get off of that greased rail going backwards and stand up and start moving forward. And everyone in this room right here is to encourage you to do that this morning. I mean to tell you, are we all family here today or what? Is there somebody visiting? Maybe they're expecting something. But right now we've already blown your perception or whatever anyway. If this is your home fellowship, if someone ever cannot extend to you a compassionate hand and a heart, if you share with them, man, I'm just coming off a backslide, I need help. If they look down their nose at you, please, will you let me know? Will you let me know? Because I quite honestly cannot stand that kind of arrogance. Oh, a backslide, huh? Well, if you would be more like me, you wouldn't suffer those kind. Listen, that's bogus. I want to hear about that. That's pride. And that'd kill a church. We ought to be able to receive people back in. We ought to be able to extend, to encourage them, to continue on. Continuance in the Christian faith is proof that the Holy Spirit's in you. I'm not saying that you should be raising the dead on Monday and walking on water on Tuesday. You're going to have your up and down days. We all do. And periods of times, of seasons, of dryness or whatever. But are you hanging in there? The people, you who are hanging in there, shows you are proof positive that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, for he is encouraging you on. In fact, there's an understanding there, the doctrine of abiding, taught in John 15, where Jesus says, you must abide in me. So you say, well, wait a minute, does that mean I save myself? No. It means the Holy Spirit who's in you is like a magnet. And he goes after the things of God and the Word of God. And he dwells in you. But we are to strengthen them by, first of all, seeing to it that they continue in the faith. And then secondly, look at this, at verse 22 down near the end. It says in verse 22, that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And we don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear this stuff. In the actual Greek, it says this in the original scriptures. Listen to this. It makes more sense, I think. It is through tribulation that we realize the kingdom of God. It is through tribulation that we recognize or identify the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? First of all, the word tribulation here is not great tribulation, the 7 years that's coming upon the earth to try all those who dwell on it. This is tribulation. Look on your Bible. It's plural. Tribulations. The adversities of life. Now look, and I'll try to be quick. The world out there is suffering too. It has heartaches. It's trying to patch up a broken world, a broken home. But the Christian has the same thing. You're not exempt from that. Don't you think it would have made sense to us that the moment we become a Christian, God says, hey, man, you're touched down. You're in there. Cushy life. Fine. Everything's peaceful and smooth sailing from here on out. No, he doesn't do that. The scripture says that in adversities, we realize the kingdom of God. And here's the big difference. And every one of us have been there at one period of time in our lives, either before or after we're Christians. Listen. When a trial comes to your life, when your home explodes or you lose your job or you get that news from the doctor, what do you do? Well, Well, chances are if you're a non-Christian, you kind of freak. And even if you're a non-Christian, a lot of people say, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? When they profess to not even believe in him, they'll question him. Or the Christian will say, God, are you with me? Do you love me? Are you there? And if we read our Bible, it says in our scripture that, technically, I'm going to paraphrase it, that, yeah, I'm there more than ever now because you are in a trial. But we look at all the glitter and all the hype and we see all of a sudden our world's shattered. My drapes don't match. They lost the order. The carpet's dirty. Somebody dinged my car. And our world starts to crumble. And Jesus says, man, you know what? Adversity is going to come into your life so that you'll realize the kingdom of God. How many people do you know who've had a really neat life, per se, and they've never needed God? Then sickness sets in or tragedy sets in, and all of a sudden they're saying, will you pray for me? What's the name of your church? Do you have a Bible? Listen, God's in that. God didn't cause the pain, but listen, God capitalizes on the pain. Satan wants to kill and destroy you, but God will come in and take what Satan has meant for your life and turn it around and wind up giving you eternal life. All along, people are so independent and so self-assured, and that's just the way we are, our human nature. Until there's a tragedy in our lives and we find out, you know what, there's nothing propping me up, and I need help. You may call into this church and say, can you put my Uncle Bill on the prayer chain? He's sick, he could die. The first thing they're going to ask you, is he a Christian? No. Well, that tells us immediately exactly how to pray. Number one, Lord, save him. Save him. Why should God heal him and give him a healthy life only to die and the guy winds up perishing? Save him. And Lord, use this. And then, Lord, heal him. God knows. Everything that comes into our lives, Christians, and I want to give you a couple of verses, is by the hand of God. No matter how ugly it might look, God is in it. He hasn't forsaken you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1:3. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, you ought to write this down because you ought to become a Christian so this can be your promise. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Well, I need mercy. The God of all comfort. Hey, I need comfort. Who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. There's not only, God is not only working in your life to prepare you for heaven. There's things in your life that God could never get worked out in you except through pain and suffering. That's how stubborn we are. But in the midst of it all, he's going to equip you to minister to somebody else. I had a guy tell me last service, he said, you know what? What you said about that just then blew my mind. Because last year, he says, I was the only Christian in my company. I was sharing the gospel. Everybody would laugh at me and make fun of me. And some big manager or whoever got sick. And he got really sick. And he said, I began to pray for this guy. And then the other non-believing co-worker said, hey, we need to pray for this guy. Are you praying for this guy? Yeah, I'm praying for this guy. And it became general knowledge that the shop was praying for this man. And that man died. But before he died, the suffering brought the guy to faith, and he was born again, and the gospel was given. And those workers, through that man's sickness and then ultimate death, heard the salvation message of Christ. It was preached to them. And God used it. But we want it cushy. We want it comfortable. Don't shake the boat. Listen, people, when are we going to wake up? The boat shakes. This boat is going to shake. The world is unstable. But man, our heart and our hope is built upon nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. On the solid rock we stand. Everything else is sinking sand. And so this morning we are the Christians who are disciples. We are growing, and in your life is adversity. Don't despair. God is using it. He loves you. He hasn't left you. Or you're not a Christian and you're on your own. And that is a scary place to be. We have so much to teach on and no time left. We'll read through here quickly. So when they had appointed, verse 23, elders. By the way, that word simply means those who were prone to minister there in those local bodies. It's not pastors, it's not evangelists, it's not apostles. Those who were prone or in the mode or in the heart to serve. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, now when they had preached the word in Perga, they're still preaching, they went down to Attila. And it comes to the end where they go back to Jerusalem. And I want to draw your attention and we'll close with this. It says in verse 23 at the end that they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. I love that. I have it underlined in my Bible. You want to know why? Because my responsibility is to teach you the Bible, to hopefully stimulate you to go look for yourself during the other days of the week, to point you to God's instruction, and to pray for you. I am not your shepherd. There's only one shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus. They, Paul the Apostle, commended the church to the Lord whom they believed in. Do you get that? He didn't own the church. Paul wasn't saying, "Now wait a minute, these are my people. Paul never says my people. These are my sheep." Paul never said these are my sheep. Jesus says they're my sheep, they know my voice, they follow me. Paul was so awesome, he preached his heart out. He ministered to them. And then he said, "Hey, you guys, we're out of here. We're leaving. We're going back to Jerusalem. God bless you. And here's the deal. You got some elders. God's going to work with them. Be gentle. Be patient. And by the way, Father, in Jesus' name, I now commend this church into your hands. And we're out of here. Thank you, Lord. And just do your stuff with them." And he leaves. And we ought to be like that. This church, you are his property. I have learned the less I touch you, the less I keep my hands off, the better off you are, the closer you are to him. I'm supposed to be invisible more and more. You're supposed to get along more with him. Paul steps out of the loop, and I need to step out of the loop every day. You are commended unto the Lord, who not only saved you, but he bought you with the price of his holy and awesome blood.
Be sure and join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue through the book of Acts. Now that we're entering into the Christmas season, everyone seems to decorate and go shopping and everything else involved in these holidays. But true believers celebrate John 1:14. God the Son came down and became one of us. Well, imagine a Christmas without Jesus. In fact, that happens to be the title of a CD series we're offering right now. It's designed to keep our eyes on the Messiah and his dramatic and historical entrance onto the world stage. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus, the CD series by Pastor Jack Hibbs, is yours when you send in a donation to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org to find out more and to order. Or call us at 877- RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.